This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to On Target, and thank you so much for joining us today. I am your host, Penny Wolfgang, and we're here every week, and we try to talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important to all of us who live here in the Western New York community. And we invite our listeners to tell us sometimes, call us and tell us who they think would be interesting or what subject they would be interested in. We'd be glad to try to accommodate them. But I have to say, I thought of this subject and person myself with the help of my darling assistant producer, Robin Wolfgang, because we were talking recently and she said, on such and such a day, I won't be in the office because I'm going to participate in the Day of Caring with the people from that I work with. And we started talking about the Day of Caring, and I realized that it's just one of the many events, functions, activities that United Way participates in, or members of the community participate in to help United Way. And when we talk about organizations or groups that affect all of us in some way in our daily lives here in Western New York, I think probably number one in our mind comes to be United Way, because we've all heard and we've all contributed, I think, and I don't know if we've all participated, but many of us have participated in activities that were sponsored by United Way, because we know that the money that is raised affects so many of us in so many ways here in Western New York. So On Target, this is a great subject for us and a great person for us to be talking to. It's all encompassing in our lives in so many ways. And in the studio with us is the president for the past 10 years and a well-known figure in the community and well-known to our listeners on Target, right? I think he's been our guest before, but let me tell you that Michael Weiner is the president and CEO of the United Way of Buffalo and Erie County, as I said, for the past 10 years, and has made such a difference here in Western New York that I'm sure he's not going to be bragging about it himself, but I can tell you that since Mr. Weiner became, CEO of United Way, there has been a sea change in the, and not just the activities, but the recognition that the people, members of the community have for the good work that United Way does, and I'm giving you all the credit, okay? Because you're my friend.
I'm loving it.
And Robin's friend. So I thought maybe we could start out by talking a little bit about you, Michael, because I know that before you, 10 years ago, before you were the CEO and president of United Way, you were already involved in many communities, in many activities in the community.
I love to tell my personal story because, unlike many of your listeners, I did not grow up in Western New York. I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. I came here as a college student, undergraduate student, to attend the University of Buffalo. And I have had the most wonderful experience in my personal life, in my family life, and in my career by sticking here in Western New York. So I love the community. I love everything that it brings to us every day. I know we have challenges, and that's why I've always in my career have been in health and human services, primarily helping people who have challenges, whether they're addiction challenges, behavioral health challenges, social service challenges. It's been my labor of love, and as a result of being in this community, I have learned how to target my energy, my capacity, and my interest in helping others. And it's been a wonderful career pathway for me.
Do you remember years ago, I think his name was Bob Byers, but there was a person who was writing for the Buffalo News who started a group called Buffalonians by Choice. Remember that?
Yeah.
And there were so many people that had the same story, pretty much that you did. I came to Buffalo to go to school, or I came for to visit a relative, or I came for a job, or some like myself who came to live where their husband was from. That's how I came here too. And it wasn't Brooklyn, but it was one of the other boroughs, so that's why we get along so well, right? So once you graduated and you were doing other activities here in the community before United Way. What led up to the United Way position?
Well, as I said, my career has always been in a helping mm-hmm. field. And as an undergraduate, I began to do volunteer work and internships as part of my academic training, which was originally in psychology. I really got to appreciate that rather than be a CPA, which was my original 18-year age aspiration, I really felt good about helping other people. And I learned a lot about the strengths that I had and the joy and the rewards that came with helping others. So I actually stayed in school after undergraduate work and got my first master's in counseling because I knew that that was a pathway that was very promising and there were tremendous opportunities in the community. And I saw the alignment personally and professionally. My first job was working on the West Side in a program that helped former addicts and kids who were getting in trouble with gangs because they were dropping out of school because of gangs or drugs. And here again, working with small teams, trying to make a difference in the lives of people that were challenged has always been a passion for me. And my pathway, career pathway, took me to work at a variety of different wonderful organizations, mostly in the public sector. I started in not-for-profit work, but I actually ended up working for two state agencies, Office of Alcohol and Substance Abuse, as well as the Office of Mental Health. I worked at the Erie County Medical Center and Department of Psychiatry for 6 years. I love that work. And it even got me to a point where I started thinking about, in addition to direct service, what could I do in my career pathway that would also give me a chance to influence programs, future development of services. And I actually went back to school for an MBA while I was working in the hospital because I thought maybe, just maybe, in addition to the direct service love, passion that I love, would I and could I actually manage programs and maybe eventually be responsible for an organization? And that's the pathway that I ended up taking. I ended up, the regional director of the Office of Mental Health here in West New York for a number of years, then went on to be the mental health commissioner and then the social service commissioner here in Erie County, and then got asked to and invited to apply for the United Way job. The thing I liked about the United Way opportunity was I knew a lot about the United Way. I helped fund organizations through my government role. I was a volunteer. I was a donor for many years through the traditional payroll deduction that is still the mantra, the norm of United Ways across the country. And I actually got a chance to participate in a number of the programs that were being developed in partnership with United Way. So when they asked me to think about this opportunity, I said, this is a great opportunity. I should at least go through the process. And then when they called me and offered me the job, I couldn't say no. I thought it would be a great continuation of my career pathway. I've never looked back. In the 10 years, we've done a lot of transformational work in the organization, and we've been very focused on the high priority needs in the community.
Now, of all, as I kind of said at the top of the program, of all of the non-governmental service organizations and charities and whatever you can call them that people are aware of or contribute to, it seems like United Way is the umbrella for, or the major organization for helping people in Western New York. So they have, is it the biggest? Is it the brightest? Is it the best? No, it is the biggest, I'm sure.
That's a great question. One of the things that we love about having an opportunity to talk about the United Way is our ability to talk about our value in the community beyond the fundraising that we do, because most people think about United Ways locally as a fundraising organization, and it stops there. But there's so much more that we can do. The reason why United Ways have significant impact in the communities that they're in is because the philosophy is that we are stronger together than we are alone. And that philosophy really holds true. It's part of a collective impact way of thinking. We can do so much more if we work together than we can do if we do work in isolation. And so the United Way's framework is built around that. So we manage coalitions. We invest in programs and services that are enriching the lives of people from a financial stability, education, and also health perspective. We mobilize volunteers to do all the things that we think are necessary to support community. And it all dates back to our origin 102 years ago, when somebody that whose name you know very well, Ansley Wilcox, who was a major philanthropist in this community, who was running what is now the United Way as a board leader, during World War One in 1917, which is the origin of our local United Way, a time of turmoil for our community. Families were being disrupted because people were going off to war. There were the challenges associated with being able to put food on the table and maintain the lifestyle and the well-being of families because of the war. Ansley Wilcox got together with two other charities and suggested to those two other charities that it would be better to have a campaign that was a one-ass campaign rather than three different not-for-profits in that era competing for limited dollars. He was so convincing that these three organizations, one of which is now called Child and Family Services, which has a long history, as you know, and the other was a nursing association, that and the United Way conducted a one-week partnership campaign. They set a goal of a little over $120,000, and in that era, they generated $159,000 working together with that one-ass campaign. What a remarkable outcome. The value of that $159,000 is like $2.7 million in current dollars.
Definitely in the million.
So it was an impressive way of thinking, and it's been a legacy of United Way here locally because we still follow the same mantra. That is part of our mission, to bring people, organizations, and resources together to improve community well-being and demonstrating that we could be stronger by working together.
And it's interesting that you should say that about a well-known person in the community that we didn't ever know about that contribution of Ansley Wilcox. But how things have changed over the years, where other groups, so many groups have now realized that they have to work together, like you said, asking for money for the, from the community as a whole for certain, you know, similar like children's welfare or addiction services. You know, they've all sort of, everyone's realized that they had the right idea back then, that it's stronger to work together than individually.
Absolutely, and we're seeing the results of that work in many of the things that we do. Like I mentioned earlier, we're managing coalitions in three segment areas: in financial stability, in health and wellness, and in early childhood. We call the Birth to Eight is their early childhood initiative. The focus is on how to improve the quality of life for children before third grade, before their eighth birthday, because the evidence shows, the research shows that in terms of proficiency, like English language, math proficiency, if you don't have adequate proficiency by third grade, the likelihood is you're not going to thrive in school, go on to graduate, career, or college. And so what can we do in terms of intervention and strategies to help those families who have young children so that those children can develop in such a way that naturally they're going to do better in school and they're going to thrive over time? So it's everything from early childhood development and screening to identifying early on children who have challenging behaviors and making sure they get the right level of services and supports so that their early learning and development is going to evolve in such a way that we're going to get better outcomes for that child. And that means working with the family, and that means early identification of the child who could be at risk and making sure they're connected to the right services and supports. And those are the types of programs that we're concentrating on.
last week on Target, we spoke to Emily from Say Yes.
Great.
And she was just describing, I was like thinking, oh, Say Yes is trying to get people into young people to go to college and stay in college. No, they're going all the way back, like you just said, to kindergarten and pre-kindergarten, because it seems like studies are showing what you just said, that it's before you're, it's determined what's going to happen to you before you can walk or talk, practically.
Exactly. And so
or read.
That's one example of a coalition that we're managing, and we have providers that represent a cross sector of early childhood programs who come together regularly. We do the research, we do the advocacy around public policy to help families with young children. We're investing in programs and services that are evidence-based practice work that will help improve outcomes for young children, like going in and helping mom or dad learn how to coach and read to their children so that they could learn the words and be literate in a more rapid way than if parents didn't engage their kids and read to them, as one example. And so it's an exciting opportunity. It can't be done alone. It requires partnerships with other organizations, the foundation community, the not-for-profit sector, public sector, including organizations like health and social services and behavioral health programs, all coming together to really work in identifying, sorting out their roles, as well as the priority needs that exist in this community, and then working on those focused areas together.
If you just tuned in right now, you're listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and today we are talking to Michael Weiner, who's the president and CEO of United Way of Buffalo and Erie County, about United Way. You know what I was trying to say before, inarticulately, that United Way could be considered the umbrella. Is that the right thing, agency, for so many other agencies that you help or work with?
We fund a lot of organizations. Over 500 organizations receive funding that's designated by a donor through the United Way. So if we're not out there and generating that resource, that money at the request of the donor doesn't get to the not-for-profit sector. But we also receive what we call resources under management, where donors make commitments to us and they empower us to make investments in those high priority impact areas that I mentioned earlier. And so that's close to $5 million. We're about $4.5 million as well. And then we receive grants, over $4 million a year in grants. We're managing about $17 million in multi-year local, state, and federal grants. That also is being invested in the community in ways that we would hope will improve quality of outcomes for people that are challenged, maybe because they have health-related issues, maybe because they're financially struggling, and things like that.
Yeah, I was curious when you mentioned before the three groups that you were working on. One was the education, and you mentioned, I don't know, economic or financial, and I thought, how does that work? I mean, how
great question. So one of the other coalitions that we manage is in the financial stability area. And if we know anything from research, we know that just because somebody has a job doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to be financially secure. They also need to learn financial literacy. They need to learn how to bank. They need to learn how to establish and maintain credit. They need to know how to manage their resources. So I may be getting a paycheck each week or every other week, but if I don't have the science around and the knowledge and the familiarity with how to effectively manage that resource, I could be putting myself and my family at risk. And so we teach financial literacy services through the agencies that we fund. We have programs like Belmont Housing that go out and they do financial education and support for individuals who are in the community who are working, what we call working poor families. There's an acronym called ALICE. It stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Employed. It tells a story about what it means for a family to live with self-sufficiency standards, like how much money do I need a month for housing, for healthcare, for food, and miscellaneous needs. And there actually is a blueprint for what that looks like for a family of four with two young children, one who is in infant and the other in pre-K. that family needs, in our community, needs to generate an annual income of over $68,000 a year, or the equivalent of $33 an hour, whether it's two parents working, earning that, or one parent working. Think about it. We have over 60% of our families in the city of Buffalo alone who are ALICE. They're asset limited, income constrained, but they're working. Most of the time we talk about families who live under the federal poverty level, which is a substantial rate in our community, close to 30%, city of Buffalo.
It's very high in the city.
That's right. But when you take into account and add the additional level of families that are working, they're not eligible for federal poverty, they're not classified that way, but they're still working poor.
I was thinking it's like
alarming.
The term you're using, like working poor.
Yes.
I've heard that like in the media, the working poor.
Yep.
So that's really, important for everybody to help, because we don't want to have any more people that are dependent on social services if they can make it on their own.
So let me tell you some of the programs, in addition to the financial literacy support and making financial products available, like loan programs. Or not a lot of people in the community know that we help manage, on behalf of families, free tax prep services called Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. It's a VITA. It's a federal program. We receive funds to help support organizations to provide free tax prep services during the tax season for over 8,000 families this year. It brought into our community, into the lives of those families, over $12 million in returns. This is a program it's a legacy program the United Way. We've been running for many years, and it's a very nice way, an important way, of helping families that are struggling financially. But we also think that a big part of the solution and strategic framework for helping low-income families is to make sure that they're connected to job opportunities that pay a good wage and are promising career pathways. So there are a couple of things that we're doing with employers and with the not-for-profit sector through grants that we're administering that we're really excited about. And I'll just share three with you very quickly. The first one is the Thrive program. It's state-funded. It's about helping working poor families gain better access to better-paying jobs and making available supportive services so that they can gain access to those job opportunities in advanced manufacturing, healthcare, hospitality, banking, and IT, you name it. And so we have several organizations we're working with locally that are entry points to create a talent pipeline management continuum so that employers know how to access job recruiters and the interest that they have in identifying individuals who want to work, want better jobs, are already in the workforce. They have soft skills. They may need some additional extraordinary training on the job, but employers may be more inclined to look at somebody who's already in the workforce. How do you move somebody from a minimum wage job to a higher wage job? Well, the pipeline is one way of doing that. So this is a program with the help of Northland Training Center, with the help of the Buffalo Employment Training Center, and in partnership with the Buffalo Niagara Partnership. We hope. It's in the startup phase. We've only had 5 months of operation, but we've had 30 placements to date, and we've
That's
had 10 people.
Successful.
We
Very,
hope so. Yeah. Well, we still got a lot of work to do. We need to do a better job. If anybody's listening to this radio station right now and they're in a low-wage job and they want to look at an opportunity for a higher-wage position, they should contact Northland. They should contact Betsy. They should reach out to the United Way locally, and we'll help them navigate that system of care. Another program that we're really excited about, which is grant-funded locally, is what's called the Work-Life Solutions Program. This concept is help people who are at risk of losing their job. They're currently employed, but they're at risk of losing their job because financially they have no credit, they have no savings, and their car breaks down, or they have an increased cost for childcare, and now they're not getting to work as frequently,
or even an illness. Yeah.
And so employers would love to find ways to help retain qualified workforce rather than lose somebody and have to now backfill with a new recruit. The Work-Life Solutions brings a resource coordinator to the employer so that the employer identifies individuals in confidence who need help. They may need financial literacy training. They may need help with a loan. The bank provides a loan up to $1,000 for an employee who's been out the job for at least a year, which is paid back through payroll deduction. it's a great concept because it's safe for the employer, it's safe for the employee, and it helps them also establish credit rating now so that they could eventually get a credit card and help defray emergency costs down the road, even without a loan.
And again, the more people employed in Western New York, the better for everybody.
Absolutely. And so this is an exciting program, also in the startup phase. We're 6 months into it, and already 98 people have applied for loans, and we're in four pilot sites here in the community with employers working to help address those challenges that an individual would face because they don't have the assets that others who we assume have the quality of life and the financial capacity to manage. And we're really excited about that. The last program is that we love to talk about is the five-year federal grant we got through the Department of Labor to manage an apprenticeship training program. Here, we're using federal resources to bring reimbursement to employers that are willing to go through the certification process to help credential and train on the job people who are in advanced manufacturing positions. They may be entry level, they may be looking to progress to higher performing, higher wage positions, but they don't have the requisite skills and certification to move along that pathway. This program is into its fourth year now. We have a waiting list for 300 slots that we've committed to. Over 160 people are currently receiving apprenticeship training. One of the things that was really exciting about this program, Penny, is we originally thought we would be able to bring all the capacity right here in Erie County. But originally, what we learned when we started up the program 4 years ago was not every employer is ready to go through the rigorous state certification process for apprenticeship training. So we went on the road, and we went to our partners in West New York, and we now have over eight counties participating in this program, and we're really excited about the success that it's had.
Yeah, because I realize that you said Buffalo and Erie County, so we have to realize it's how big a web
exactly.
The United Way does. I can't thank you enough. Before we go, Michael, let's give everyone like how they can reach United Way or how they can reach you to be a volunteer, to get assistance, anything that they need.
Usually when I'm asked that question, the first thing that I encourage people to do is to think about going online on our website. Websites nowadays, just looking at online navigation, is the way that we all learn about.
I knew you were going to say that.
So if you go to uwbec.org, that would be one way for people to learn.
UWBEC,
okay. Buffalo, yeah. Erie County, okay. .org. People will have a chance to navigate our website and learn about the resources and the things that we're doing in the community. And then there's also the opportunity to participate through volunteer service work. And we'd love to have them do that by also contacting us. And so that's that, and our phone numbers are listed there. We would be happy to do any kind of outreach.
Okay, folks. You know how. Now do it. Thank you so much, and thanks for listening to On Target. See you next week, everybody.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.